Hello, this is Kurt Benrud with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next 29 minutes, I'll be reading movie reviews and theater previews. These are reviews of movies and previews of local theater that will be available with audio description. And a quick list of what there is. We got some plays. One is called Home. One is called Dog Sees God. One is called Hairspray. And we've got some movies. One is called Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, or Pirates of the Caribbean 4. One is called The Hangover 2. And one is called Priest. And so let's take a somewhat closer look at the plays. There's one showing on Sunday, June 26th. It's a 2 p.m. matinee. It's Justice Theater Project, and they're doing Home. It's by North Carolina playwright Sam Art Williams. They call it the gentle saga of every man, Cephas Miles, who leaves behind his family farm in North Carolina and travels north for more opportunities. His epic journey from adolescence to adulthood spans the 1950s through the Civil Rights era and the Vietnam War, showing us all the importance of coming home. The play was nominated for Best Play by the Tony Awards. The Drama Desk nominated it for Best Play. Outer Critics Circle Award was awarded to it, the NCAA Image Award, it received that, and also the North Carolina Governor's Award. The play Home will be shown Sunday, June 26th at 2 p.m., the audio-described performance. Justice Theater Project performs at St. Francis of Assisi Church in a space known as Clare Hall. I've attended a few performances there. It's a very good space. It's out on 1104 Leesville Road in Raleigh. The cast includes Joseph Callender, who plays Cephas, and Barbette Hunter and Joy Williams. I've worked with Barbette Hunter before. It's also directed by Sean Brosnahan. I've worked with him before as well. There are free pairs of tickets, an unlimited number of them, for users of audio description. You get one for you and one for the person that drives you there. Other people pay $15 is full price. The discounted tickets are $10, and such things as being a student or an educator or being in the Army, these type of things are... Also, a senior citizen can get you the discount. To find out more about it, or to make a reservation, call Justice Theater Project at 919-264-7089. That's 919-264-7089. The following weekend, on Friday, July 1st at 8 p.m., Raleigh Ensemble Players has Dog Sees God, Confessions of a Teenage Blockhead. This play is written by Bert V. Royal. They tell us that in this unauthorized parody of Peanuts, the gang finds themselves in the throes of high school. When CB's dog dies from rabies, CB seems to stand for Charlie Brown, by the way, CB begins to question the existence of an afterlife. His best friend is too high to provide any coherent speculation. His sister has gone goth, his ex-girlfriend has recently been institutionalized, and his other friends are too inebriated to give him any sort of solace. A breakout hit and winner of the 2004 New York International Fringe Festival's Excellent Award for Best Overall Production. Tickets are $20 for adults. Senior citizens, military, and student and educators can buy tickets for $15, and there is a student rush, which means that for 5 minutes before curtain time, if there are seats available, students with ID can get a seat for $10. Now, Raleigh Ensemble Players performs at 213 Fayetteville Street. That's their new home, just a couple blocks down Fayetteville Street from the Capitol. And once again, Dog Sees God plays on Friday, July 1st at 8 p.m., and this is the audio-described performance. And finally, Hairspray at the end of July, Saturday, July 30th. It's a 2 p.m. matinee. North Carolina Theater is producing Hairspray. And this is a play that's set back in 1960s Baltimore. The audience will be swept there, where the 50s are out and change is in the air. The play asks the question, can a lovable plus-size heroine manage to integrate a television show and find true love without ruining her hair? We dare you to stop your toes from tapping to this joyful and infectious score full of 1960s dance music and downtown rhythm and blues. You can contact North Carolina Theater at 831-6941. That's 919-831-6941. And the extension is 6944. Once again, 6944. Tickets range from $30 all the way up to $75, depending on how far away from the stage you want to sit. And it is Saturday, the 30th of July at 2 p.m. that North Carolina Theater offers Hairspray. I have a review here of a previous production of Sam Art Williams' play, Home, and I'm going to read this because the play is the first one coming up to us. It's not that far down the road, and it's also by Sam Art Williams, who is a North Carolina playwright, and the play begins in North Carolina and ends in North Carolina. James Hanaham wrote, Sam Art Williams' Home has enough charm for flaws to seem inconsequential. It's a 1979 play in which the good-natured, zesty story of a black everyman named Cephas Miles, and the play packs enough energy and charm into a fairly conventional tale to make its flaws seem nearly inconsequential. Cephas, accompanied by two women playing a suitcase of character roles, narrates the story of his down-home North Carolina childhood, shooting craps in a graveyard, fighting mosquitoes as big as turkeys, pulling drowned raccoons out of bootleg whiskey vats. The atmosphere of proud nostalgia is soon tempered by Cephas's imprisonment at 19 for resisting the draft. Once out, Cephas migrates north to the city, where he discovers sin and failure. His story is depressing in the retelling. He dates an unrepentant gold digger, loses his job and apartment, and becomes a homeless drug addict. But with the comic timing in the production that this reviewer saw, that the tone stayed light in the production. Eventually, though, Cephas's country roots call him back home, and the play's sentimental undercurrent spews up like lava, with a contrived plot twist that incinerates credibility. I can't really be bitter, Cephas sums up, but he does have the right. And so once again, that is the play called Home, and it's written by North Carolina playwright Sam Art Williams. It begins and ends in North Carolina. The audio-described performance is June 26th at 2 p.m. It's by the Justice Theater Project. They do have pairs of tickets available to anybody going to see the play, making use of the audio description service. It plays at Clare Hall on the campus of St. Francis of Assisi. It's 11401 Leesville Road in Raleigh. And listen carefully for this telephone number here, because this is the one you need to be able to claim free pairs of tickets, and they've got a bunch of them. It's area 919-264-7089. That's 919-264-7089. Okay, I mentioned three movies. Now I'm going to mention the three theaters where they're playing. Now, these are the only theaters in the Raleigh area that offer movies with audio description. And so it'd be good to have these numbers laying around. So have somebody grab a pencil and paper, and here we go. In Garner, it's the White Oak Stadium, and their phone number is 919-779-7499. That's 919-779-7499. In Apex, it's the Beaver Creek Stadium with a number 919-362-7342. That's 919-362-7342. And in Raleigh, it's the North Hills Stadium. Telephone number 919-786-4494. That's 919-786-4494. Now, the White Oak and the Beaver Creek have the same schedule at the moment here. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, or Pirates of the Caribbean Part 4. It plays through tomorrow. It's rated PG-13, and then it's followed thereafter by The Hangover Part 2, which opens on Thursday and runs through the following Thursday. It's possible that this schedule that I found posted online is not 100% correct. Usually the movies don't end on Wednesday. Usually they end on Thursday. So it may be that it's playing through Thursday and that Hangover begins on Friday. At any rate, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides opens in Raleigh at the North Hills Stadium on Friday of this week, that is May 27th, and runs through Thursday of next week, which is June 2nd. Prior to that, however, in Raleigh, they're playing the movie called Priest, which runs through the 26th, which is Thursday of this week. So because Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides is playing in all three theaters, let's look at first the capsule of information about it, where the cast includes Johnny Depp and Penelope Cruz, also Ian McShane, Kevin R. McNally, Astrid Burgess Frisbee, Sam Claflin, and Jeffrey Rush. It's directed by Rob Marshall, and this is an action-adventure comedy with a PG-13 rating. It runs for 137 minutes, which is actually what I would call 2 hours and 17 minutes. There is an advisory for intense sequences of action-adventure violence, some frightening images, and sensuality and innuendo. The synopsis comes next here. Crossing paths with the enigmatic Angelica, Captain Jack Sparrow is not sure if it's love, or if she's a ruthless con artist who's using him to find the fabled Fountain of Youth. When she forces him aboard the Queen Anne's Revenge, the ship of the legendary pirate Blackbeard, Jack finds himself on an unexpected adventure in which he doesn't know whom to fear more, Blackbeard or Angelica, with whom he shares a mysterious past. Have a review here from critical critic Marco Duran, who tells us, "There are many people who love the movie Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. Although seeing the awfulness that was the country bears, and knowing that the haunted mansion was soon to follow, the film just seemed like a similar ploy for Disney to pillage their old tourist attractions and try to eke out a few doubloons. However, Pirates found a savior in Johnny Depp and his oddly mannered but oddly alluring Jack Sparrow, a role that has carved out a place on the list of greatest characters ever committed to celluloid, and still the best reason to watch any of these four Pirates films. The success of the first film led to the inevitable sequels and the unavoidable franchise that developed. Thus far, we have Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, and now Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. Most said the films that followed the first Pirates installment were unfocused and bloated. I, however, find their breadth and scope, the imagination and the gutsiness it took to bring these stories to the screen, both amazing and inspiring. The fourth film, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, is a worthy successor into the further adventures of Captain Jack Sparrow. In this chapter, Jack finds himself crossing wits and crossing swords with a lady from his past, the mysterious Angelica, played by Penelope Cruz. She takes him on board the Queen Anne's Revenge, ship of the brutal and unjust pirate Blackbeard, played by Ian McShane, and becomes embroiled in a search for the Fountain of Youth. This is a race to see who gets there first. It is run between the Spaniards, Blackbeard's crew, and the indestructible Hector Barbossa, played by Jeffrey Rush, who is more concerned with revenge for his lost ship and his lost leg than after immortality. Along the way, they must all contend with zombies, mermaids, and all sorts of other devilry. New to the series is director Rob Marshall, he of Nine, Memoirs of a Geisha, and the Academy Award-winning Chicago, taking over for Gore Verbinski, director of the first three Pirates films. He brings a new sensibility to this movie without taking anything from what has been established before. As you can see from his filmography, Rob knows a thing or two about song and dance, and this plays into the newness he brings. On the previous iterations of Pirates, Jack got by and won battles on his wits, quick thinking, and luck more than anything else. However, this time, Rob choreographs the fight scenes in Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides like dance routines. Step 2-3-4. Stab 2-3-4. As such, Jack comes across as having somehow learned gymnastics and acrobatics, and therefore having far more skill and grace than he's ever shown before. What Rob does not do away with, and that which I am glad he is not, is the brutality and the weight of the situations taking place. The pirate films could easily have become cartoon-like in their depictions of the life on the high seas, bloodless and play violence, especially under the guidance of the Disney machine. But Gore Verbinski did not shy away from showing a gutted old salt, a boy on the gallows, or a sailor meeting his crushing demise under the tentacles of the Kraken. And thankfully, Mr. Marshall is not shy either. There is a scene near the end of the film where a whirlpool rips the flesh off a man's bones. It brings with it the heft and punch it should, as well as a hearkening back to a certain Last Crusade. Rob brings along with him a couple of actresses he worked with on Nine, the first being Dame Judi Dench, who makes a brief and comedic cameo as a society lady. The second is Penelope Cruz, teaming up with Depp for the first time since Blow, who I feel is miscast as the daughter of Blackbeard. She does not have the ruggedness of appearance or personality that we've seen in this series from other women of the sea, but instead has to try to balance a loyalty to her father that exposes her emotions with a hardness of heart towards all those she uses and manipulates. It is a disservice to both her as an actress and to the series. There's also a subplot that develops between a missionary and a mermaid. Sounds like the beginning of a joke, doesn't it? And this went on far too long, which also ended rather ambiguously for the poor missionary. I suppose the writers were trying desperately to fill the hole left by the expulsion of the Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley storyline. But really, any time away from Jack and his crew was time ill spent. Those small defects aside, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides will join its three brothers on my DVD shelf. I was shown breathtaking sights that I could never have envisioned on my own. I was taken on a journey, an adventure from one end of the world to the other, through perils and wonders with people I enjoy spending time with. I shared in a story that expanded my imagination and brought into new light things I previously thought I'd already known. I had fun. I cannot ask for anything more from a film. And so this reviewer, one of the critical critics, and named Marco Duran, highly recommends Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. And once again, it's playing through Wednesday of this week, for sure, in Apex and in Garner. And it opens in Raleigh on Thursday this week. I'm sorry, on Friday this week, rather, which is May 27th. And it runs through June 2nd, which is Thursday of next week. Now, what replaces Pirates of the Caribbean in Apex and in Garner on Thursday this week, playing through Thursday next week, is a movie called Hangover 2. Like I say, it opens on the 26th of May, runs through the 2nd of June. The cast includes Bradley Cooper, Zach Galifianakis, Ed Helms, Jamie Chung, Liam Neeson, Justin Bartha, Ken Jeong, Todd Phillips, Mike Tyson, and Tanner McGuire. And it is directed by Todd Phillips. It's a comedy with an R rating, runs 102 minutes, and there is an advisory for pervasive language, strong sexual content, including graphic nudity, drug use, and brief violent images. The synopsis here, we have Phil, Stu, Alan, and Doug traveling to exotic Thailand for Stu's wedding. After the unforgettable bachelor party in Las Vegas, Stu is taking no chances and has opted for a safe, subdued pre-wedding brunch. However, things don't always go as planned. What happens in Vegas may stay in Vegas, but what happens in Bangkok can't even be imagined. Now, David Ferrier gives this 4 out of a possible 5 stars, and he writes, sequels are never a good idea, especially if the first film is good. And The Hangover was very good. It was a surprise box office hit and currently holds the record for the highest grossing R-rated comedy of all time. Although we'd seen them as strong comedy players on television, it thrust stars Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, and Zach Galifianakis onto the big screen as they pieced together what happened over a drunken night in Las Vegas. Director Todd Phillips had already proven himself in films like Road Trip and Old School, but The Hangover really hit the ball out of the park with an engaging story, well, a mystery to solve, and most importantly, characters that had amazing comical chemistry. So how does The Hangover Part 2 follow that up? The simple answer is to change the setting, and then do exactly the same thing. The setting is Bangkok. Stu is getting married, he's broken up with the Vegas prostitute he'd met in the original, and decides to hit the beach with the gang for one last drink. Yes, Stu brings up the point that's where it all went horribly wrong last time, and that it's Phillips' nod to the fact that The Hangover 2 unashamedly follows the formula set by the first. I imagine this would be a point of contention for some, but for me it was a good thing. Why mix up a formula that worked so well beforehand? I don't mind watching these grown men get beaten up, shot at, and sexually violated all over again. Even Doug spends much of the movie split up from the others, leading to the formation of the original wolf pack, and herein lies the comedy. Zach Galifianakis is as funny as ever, this time with a bald head. Maybe it's all the time I've spent watching Between Two Ferns skits, but I laughed harder at him in this film, and he's given more time to shine. One of his best lines is delivered with absolute deadpan. If I'm a stay-at-home son, and the Los Angeles crowd I was watching it with lost the plot. The other actor that's given more space, thank God, is Kim Jeong. He returns as mad criminal Mr. Chow and steals any scene he's in. A qualified medical doctor in real life, Jeong hit it big with The Hangover, going on to be a part of the critically acclaimed TV show Community. It's great that he's back, as lewd, noisy, violent, and irritating as ever, traits one would hope his patients avoided. And yes, this film is still very R-rated. Male genitals play a fairly large role at one point, something fairly petrifying on a big screen. Overall, I'd say this is a potentially more offensive film than the first, but that's what we wanted, things to be amped up. My only complaint is the addition of Mason Lee, who plays the younger brother of Stu's fiancé. He doesn't have a big role, but he's not in sync with the other guys. We don't see him much, though. He's mainly there to serve an element of the plot rather than to be part of the comedy. Special mention also needs to be given to Crystal, a 17-year-old capuchin monkey that sort of takes over the role of the baby from the first film. I'm a sucker for monkeys in films, and she covers an amazing range of emotions and physical comedy. I understand animal rights activists have been crying foul over including a monkey in the flick, but I spent 2 hours with Crystal and her loving trainer, and for what it's worth, just saw a monkey having a really good time. Other familiar faces also return for part two, but I'll let you discover for yourselves. And you should definitely stay for the credits, because I think the photo sequence at the end may top that of the first film. The Hangover Part 2 may be formulaic, but it's a formula that works. And so once again, this reviewer gave the movie 4 out of a possible 5 stars. The Hangover 2 plays in Apex and Garner, opens on the 26th of May, and plays through the 2nd of June. And I've got time for just a quick look at Priest. I read the review to this in the last show. The cast includes Paul Bettany, Carl Urban, Cam Ginginet, Maggie Q, Lily Collins, Brad Dourif, Stephen Moyer, and Christopher Plummer. And it's directed by Scott Stewart. It's a PG-13 movie that runs for only 87 minutes, with an advisory for intense sequences of violence and action, disturbing images, and brief, strong language. We have a warrior priest from the last vampire war who now lives in obscurity among the other downtrodden human inhabitants in walled-in dystopian cities ruled by the church. When his niece is abducted by a murderous pack of vampires, the priest breaks his sacred vows to venture out on an obsessive quest to find her before they turn her into one of them. He is joined on his crusade by his niece's boyfriend, a trigger-fingered young wasteland sheriff and a former warrior priestess who possesses otherworldly fighting skills. So there we have 3 movies in the 3 different theaters here in the Raleigh area. The movies are Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, The Hangover 2, and Priest. All of these with audio description. Meanwhile, we're starting to run out of time for this episode of Movie Reviews and Theater Previews. I'm Kurt Benrud for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and tune in again in a couple of weeks. We'll do it one more time.